السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلنا في قرية من نبي إلا أخذنا أهلها بالبأساء والضراء لعلهم يضرعون. ثم بدلنا مكان السيئة الحسنة حتى عفوا وقالوا قد مس آباءنا الضراء والسراء فأخذناهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, last week upon my return I related to you some of my observations whilst in America. Unfortunately, the greatness of America has settled itself in the hearts of many a believer who is in that country. And not only there, but it seems that throughout the world there has been so much singing of the tune of America that even our Muslim countries who have ammunition stockpiled which can last them till the end of Qiyamah, which they normally use once a year for show, they too have become puppets of this so-called great America. So I mentioned last week that wherever I went with Allah Ta'ala's fazal, that greatness did not come into my heart. And no matter how huge and tall those buildings, and no matter how great that so-called Pentagon was told to be, but I mentioned very, very clearly and openly there that the ground on which all this stands belongs to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And not only the ground, but if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to use the wind, He wants to use the rain, or He wants to use any other force of His, He can shake up the so-called might of this so-called great country. Of course, that is not our purpose to go and curse anybody, and neither was this intended to be any kind of curse. What it was intended to do was to bring into the hearts of those people that are there the greatness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and take out from their hearts the greatness of what they were seeing all around. The effect of which on their hearts was such that the majority had changed their culture completely after living in that country. I mentioned, I think in my Juma Bayan, that it really hurt. I was deeply hurt when I was introduced to some huffaz, and I was told about certain other huffaz and people that had settled in America over the past 20 years, 15 years, 30 years, that after settling there, they were so afraid to even being recognized as Muslims. In fact, one person stated that he had, when he arrived at America, then his neighbor who was a Muslim, he said, "Look, you must not make namaz here. You must not be seen to have a beard here." He says, because this is a country where they do not like Muslims, so therefore we have to hide our Islam and Iman. Now if this is the condition, then what do you expect? But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, due to the barakat of the Awliya-i-Kiram, due to the barakat of those sincere believers who face all odds and continue worshipping Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, now and again Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala shows His might and His power and His Qudrat. Otherwise they were like the webs, the spider's webs, huge webs spiders build and they feel very secure in those webs. All that is required is somebody to just come with one broom and sweep it out. But where are those brooms which are going to sweep out those spider's webs? Unfortunately, the broom is also thinking that that spider's web is a very, very big and a huge thing. So where is that broom then going to sweep? So what I am getting at is this, that our lifestyles should project what Islam is, whether we are in South Africa, whether we are in America, or whether the person is in China or any part of the world. The Muslims, when they went to different lands, they changed not only the culture of that people, they changed even the language of that people. Egypt was not in Arabia. Morocco was not in Arabia. So many other countries, they were not in Arabia. But when our forefathers went there, when the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajmain went there, over a period of time, they changed the whole culture of that place, so much so that even the language. And when we go, we get absorbed by that culture so much that it is difficult after that to even recognize that this person is a Muslim. So looking at the condition of the place, I mentioned very clearly in one bayan of mine there, exactly what Mawlana Sayyid Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayhi had mentioned in Burma. I said, looking at the condition here, you must expect anything to happen at any moment. Don't feel secure against the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala coming. That azab could be coming for those people who are enemies of Islam. It could be coming for those who are enemies of Islam. Again, don't misunderstand me. We don't condone in any way the method in which that whole operation was undertaken. It is not an Islamic way. I consider it as an azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala upon a people who had become too proud, too arrogant. The greatness was all the time on their tongues. Any newspaper you see, nothing. We are a great nation. We are the greatest military might in the world. We are the greatest in technology. We are the greatest in this and greatest in that. So much of greatness was on the tongues of people there that it was expected that this pride is now going to be broken. So whatever method Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala uses, either He uses an earthquake and shakes up the livers of the people that are there and who are proud and arrogant, and causes the homes and buildings and everything to sink deep into the ground, or Allah Ta'ala sends gale force winds, or Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends flood waters. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's azab, if He wants to send, then it is in different forms that He can send it. So this is also a form of azab. Now let us look at it in the light of this ayat of the Quran Sharif which I just recited. In it Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, I will just give you the gist and the meaning of it. This is because this is not tafsir that I am doing here. But to give you the gist and meaning, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that whenever He sent a Nabi or a messenger to any place, to any people, in any town, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent His messengers, His prophets, His Nabis, then He caught the people of that place with some adversity, with some difficulties, with some problems, with some shake-up. And why did He do this? So that they may learn humility. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wanted them to learn humility. ND 97987. Allah Ta'ala wanted them to learn humility because they were rejecting the prophets of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They were not accepting the message. When they spoke, then they were rejected, they were criticized, they were ridiculed, they were mocked. They were told that you are orthodox and you have forsaken your forefathers' religion, and especially the people of Shoaib alayhi salatu wasalam that it refers to, that they were arrogant and proud because they had a huge economy. The economy of Shoaib alayhi salatu wasalam's people was very, very strong. And that is what they were soaked in, as we would say America today. That they were very proud of their economy. So that is what it was. So Allah Ta'ala says that whenever He sent a Nabi of His, then this is what He did. He caused them to suffer a little bit of calamity, a little bit of disaster, a little bit of adversity, little bit of suffering, and the whole purpose behind this was so that they learn humility and they accept the message of these prophets who were coming to them. Because Allah Ta'ala was sending them for guidance, Allah Ta'ala was wanting all of them to accept Iman, Islam and go into Jannat. So it was for their benefit. So to make them accept Allah Ta'ala sent a little bit of azab, so that they learn humility, that no, we have to turn towards Allah Ta'ala, we have to accept the message of these prophets, whatever they are saying is the truth. But they refused to accept. After that azab, still they did not change and they did not accept. In fact, sometimes they became even more arrogant once the azab was lifted. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that then we changed their adversity to prosperity. That adversity that they were suffering, those difficulties that they were going through, those hardships that they were going through, Allah Ta'ala says we changed it to what? To prosperity. Then they multiplied, they increased. Now their numbers were increasing, they were multiplying, their wealth was increasing, everything was increasing. So they thought that now that Allah is very, very happy with us, or as they said, that these type of difficulties and disasters and problems and suffering, they even afflicted our forefathers. So it is part of life. In other words, it's part of life. That sometimes it's adversity, sometimes it's prosperity, sometimes it's ill health, sometimes it's good health, sometimes it's wealth and sometimes it's poverty. So these things afflicted even our forefathers. So it's nothing to be really concerned about. If some kind of adversity afflicted us, then it also afflicted our forefathers. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. Many places in the Quran Sharif Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. Suddenly we called them to account. Suddenly we seized them. Suddenly we brought them to book. And this is what you will notice throughout history, where people became arrogant and proud. And when they indulged in sins, and they considered those sins to be virtues instead of vices, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala let them go, like that person who cast his line and the fish has tasted the bait, and then the fish thinks that now it is a very delicious piece of meat that has come for me, and what a wonderful person this is, whoever he is, my benefactor, that he is sending this bait for me, this sending this meat for me, and the fish bites. And I am told, I'm not a good fisherman, but I am told by fishermen that when it bites on the hook, then after that you'll release the line. You let it go. You don't pull it out immediately. That's what they say. That then you let it go deeper and deeper. Until it gets properly hooked, then you start taking it out. So this is what these people, when they started getting prosperity now, plenty of wealth coming and everything looking very rosy and wonderful, Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They were away. Then immediately Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا. If only the people of the towns had believed and they had adopted taqwa in their lives, we would have opened for them. لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We would have opened for them the barakat, the blessings of the heavens and the earth. Blessings from above, blessings from the ground. In other words, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala would have solved all their problems. Their risk and their sustenance would have come easily. Their children would have been obedient to them. Their homes would have become comfortable. The crops, the production of their factories and of their farms and everything else that you look at, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala would have given them plentiful, and He would have given them plenty of barakat also in it. Allah Ta'ala says, we would have done that. We would have given them the blessings, not just wealth. Just wealth sometimes is not a blessing. Wealth can be a blessing and it can be a curse. Children can be a blessing and they can be a curse. Homes can be a blessing and sometimes they can be a curse. Wives can be sometimes a blessing and sometimes a curse. Husbands can be sometimes a blessing and sometimes a curse. So all these are ni'mats also. And if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala decides to make these ni'mats an azab, then there is nobody to prevent him from doing so. So neither is wealth cursed, nor are children cursed, nor are wives cursed, nor are homes cursed, nor is gold and silver cursed. It is the acquisition, how do you acquire it and how do you use it. That is what it all depends on. So Allah Ta'ala says, we would have opened for them the barakat of the heavens and the earth if they had done two things. One is believed, and they had adopted taqwa in their lives, meaning they had restrained themselves from haram. This is something that is very, very difficult. You tell a person, read wazifa 100 times, this you'll get this sawab, and that sawab is ready to do it. You tell him, read this tasbih 1,000 times, then you'll get plenty of barakat in your business. Then that person, if you tell him to get up tahajjud time and read it too, he'll get up and read it. If a person is in search of a wife and you say, read this wazifa 10,000 times, then that person, if you have to tell him that go in the darkness of the night to some Qabristan and stand in the middle of one grave and read it, and then you will get a very pretty wife, then he'll even do that. Why? Because the person believes that this wazifa will bring him this or bring him that. But when you tell that person you give up sins and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is promising you that he will open the doors of barakat for you. He will give you blessings from the heavens and the earth. Allah ta'ala will solve your problems. He'll find a way out for you in your difficulties. But give up sins, then say that is very, very difficult. To give up sins is very difficult. Well, if we're not going to watch the television, if we're not going to listen to the music, if we are not going to go to the cinemas and theaters, and if we are not going to indulge in the other vices, then what will life be? Life will be very boring. Life will be very, very boring. There'll be no life left. But when that person, because this person hasn't got the taste and enjoyment of the closeness of ma'rifat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, therefore he's finding this life boring. It is just like that worm which is enjoying the filth of the stool, and when it comes out of that stool and sees some sunlight and gets the cool breeze, then it says, no, this is not for me, and it goes back into that stool. That is our condition. So therefore, the real test of a Muslim and a believer is when he gives up the sins, he becomes obedient to Allah Ta'ala, and that is taqwa. When he has got that, then Allah Ta'ala is promising that this is what he will do. Nigahe aqreba badli mizaje dosta badla, mizaje aqreba badli mizaj, nigahe aqreba badli mizaje dosta badla, nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla, nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. Once Allah Ta'ala turns away his glance of rahmat, then after that everything will turn away from that person. Agar ek to nahi mera to koi she nahi meri, agar ek to nahi mera to koi she nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera zami meri. That is all, brothers. Bring Allah Ta'ala on our side. Make Allah Ta'ala ours. And Allah Ta'ala gets happy with a little. Allah does not want us to read plenty of wazifas or stand whole night in prayer. In these days, to become a wali is extremely easy and simple. Give up sins, make your farz, wajib, sunnat, a little bit of zikr, and fulfill the rights of people, and you can be a wali of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says, this is what happened, that they did not believe, they did not accept the message of the prophets. So Allah Ta'ala gave them some difficulties, still they did not change. Then he opened the doors of prosperity for them, and then he seized them suddenly. But now this is what we have to see in the light of what is happening. Walau anna ahlal qura amanu, walau an we have afa amina ahlul qura an ya'tiyahum ba'suna bayatan wa hum na'imun. Did the people of the towns feel secure against our azab coming upon them by night while they were fast asleep? Did they feel secure that because we've got a very, very powerful building and it is protected against earthquakes and tremors and it has got so many tons of steel, so therefore this building will never collapse and we can go to sleep comfortably? Did they feel secure against our azab coming upon them by night while they were fast asleep? Just because of all the security that they had. All the security, then we think that we are very, very comfortable. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, did they feel secure against our azab coming to them by night whilst they were fast asleep? وَلَوْ أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ أَوَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا ضُحًى وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says that did the people of the town feel secure against our azab coming upon them by night while they were fast asleep, or did they feel secure against our azab coming upon them by day whilst they were playing about carefree, unconcerned where they are, what they are indulging in, what games they are playing, what they are talking about, where they are, nothing, unconcerned. In all kinds of haram places they were. And if you have to go to America or any of these countries, and even now, even in South Africa, then what is the target? What is that main magnet? It is the entertainment scene. Entertainment upon entertainment. The new centers that are coming up, what is going to be the biggest business there? Amusement, the large number of cinema complexes. And our youth will be attracted, our old people and the young and the men and the women, so much so that people in kurtas and pajamas and dhadis and topis and women in burqas and niqabs will be seen just outside those cinemas and outside those haram places. And they will feel secure that nothing will happen to us. It is just entertainment and pleasure. One person became a compulsive gambler. Believe me what I'm telling you, he became a compulsive gambler. And where did it start? He tells me, he says, my father used to take me to the casino. Wild Coast, when he used to go, he used to take me with. And there he used to give me a few rands and says that you going to have fun on the other side. In other words, a few rands just for fun he used to give me. So those few rands that he used to give him for fun afterwards became a habit. And now that father is holding his head and crying that my son is not coming out of this filthy habit of his, and he is indulging in so much of stealing and all kinds of crimes. So these temptations are going to be there. For the disbelievers, it is their jannat. Let them enjoy themselves, because there's no jannat in the akhirat for them. But for the believers, for a few years of our lives, and that too we do not even know if it's going to be a few years. Those thousands of people that died in that complex, they did not have the slightest idea a minute before it happened that that was going to be the end of their lives. Those who were in those planes, they did not have the slightest idea that that was going to be the last flight of their lives. And it was not going to even take them to their destination. I could have been in any one of them too. Because I was also planning to go towards Miami and Florida for some bayans and programs. So we don't know. Any person could have been in there. So I'm not talking about what they did is right. That is, that you must understand clearly, it was totally wrong. But what we must take a lesson, that those people did not know that was the last flight of their lives. How many of us prepare and plan from here when we are going overseas? That where are we going to go? To those cinemas, to those clubhouses, and to those theaters, and to those porn and filthy movies wherever they are shown, or to those prostitute quarters. So many have brought prostitutes into their hotel rooms, and very recently we even had one Muslim gone in such a state. So what I am saying is that we have got no guarantee that we are going to see the sun tomorrow. We have got absolutely no guarantee that we are even going to see the next second. So at such a time, how can the person then be indulging in sins and vices? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants, just for a few years, just for a few minutes or a few months of the person's life, obey Allah ta'ala. Take that gham and that pain. I repeatedly say, take that gham and that pain on the heart to restrain yourself from haram. It is a pain and it will come on the heart, especially the person who is addicted to haram. It will become very difficult for that person in the early days to give up that haram. But if he says that my Allah will become pleased, and come what may, if the doctor has to tell me that I must give up cigarettes because if I smoke one more, then that will be the collapse of my lungs. Or if my doctor has to tell me that if you have to eat a little more mithai, which I really love and dearly like, then that will be the end of my life because my sugar is very, very high, then that person will give it up. No matter how delicious it is. How many people we have seen, just for the reduction of their weight, how careful they are. They will study that manual of proteins and carbohydrates and vitamins as if it is some wahi that was revealed and Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam brought it down. It mustn't be 1 gram more, it mustn't be 1 gram less, mustn't be one slice extra, mustn't be... Now what is all that? Why? Because of physical health. Nothing wrong with that. But for physical hell, how much a person does. Once again, that beautiful couplet comes to mind. Agar jism tera zara ho alil, hakimo ki sunta hai tu bedalil. Agar jism tera zara ho alil, hakimo ki sunta hai tu bedalil. Khushamat tabibo ki karta hai tu. He said, agar jism tera zara ho alil, hakimo ki sunta hai tu bedalil. Without any dalil, whatever medication that Hakim gives or whatever he tells you to do, you will accept it. Then he says, khushamat tabibo ki karta hai tu, that you go and make khushamat of the tabibs. There's something before that which slips my mind, but the meaning of that is that you will chase after those tabibs. Those tabibs, those Hakims, if you have to hear that specialist is very, very busy person, then you will find out who has got contact with him so that he can give me an early appointment because you are concerned about your health. They say, teri akla dunya mein kya kar gayi, magar fikre ima mein kyun mar gayi. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he wants us just for a few years of our lives to restrain ourselves from haram. That there must be some test. We are not being tested like the Sahaba-e-Kiram. We are not being tested like Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an. We are not being tested by like the other companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Our test is the giving up of sins of our lives. Now if we cannot even pass that test, then what do we expect? But just for a few years, if that person has to restrain himself, that gham that he will take upon his heart, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will convert that gham into the sweetness of iman. Allah will give him halawat of iman. There is a sweetness in iman. But how can you explain to a person sweetness? If I have to write a whole PhD and get a PhD degree on sweetness of sugar, but if I haven't tasted sugar, then definitely I will not be able to express it. You have to taste it. A person has to taste it. There is sweetness in iman. If there was no sweetness in iman, then people would not have been restraining themselves from haram and would not have been enjoying a kind of serenity, joy and happiness in their salat, in their tahajjud, in their ishraq, in their charities, in the fulfillment of Allah Ta'ala's ahkam. There is a sweetness, and that sweetness will come, but it comes when the person restrains himself. It just comes to mind that we were sitting in the park there after Fajr, and one of my friends and a few others were there with me. And I said, look, we do not have to despair of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy also. I mentioned it, I think, here also, that we saw the lots of leaves that had fallen on the ground. And the tree was very, very green and beautiful. The leaves on the tree were green and beautiful. But the leaves that had fallen down had dried up. And that person was going around sweeping, and he was going to put it into the bin bags, and after that he was going to dump it. So I said, look at these leaves of the tree. Whilst they were on the tree, they were so nice, beautiful, green. Why? Because they were connected with a branch, and the branch was connected with the trunk, and the trunk was connected with the root. So because of that, that leaf also was enjoying beauty. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave it beauty. It was lush, it was beautiful, it was green. But when it cut off from the tree and it fell down, so it dried up. It dried up, now this person is sweeping, he's going to take all these dry leaves and he's going to put it into the kachra box, and after that he's going to end up as fertilizer. That's what is going to happen. The end result is going to be it's becoming fertilizer. That beautiful leaf is going to end up as fertilizer. Why? Because it cut off from the tree. So when the Muslims were connected with the root, with the iman, when they were connected, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made them green. Or they were like flowers on the trees. Wow. Very, very beautiful, giving lovely fragrance. And whosoever was coming close to the trees also was inhaling and saying that, look at this flower, how fragrant flower. Wow. Why? Because it was connected, it was on the tree, it was on the... But when it cut off from there, then it dried up. And after that it ended up in the dirt bin. Or it's going to be turned to fertilizer. So until the Sahaba-e-Kiram, the Tabi'in, the Tabi'in were in the world, wherever they went, people who inhaled the fragrance also became Muslims. their akhlaq, their character, their dealings, everything, there was sweetness, there was beauty in it. As we started cutting off, and we started falling on the ground, so now sometimes the Israeli comes with his bulldozers and bulldozes us. Sometimes the Americans do that. Sometimes people of other countries do that. There is no respect left, no honor left, no dignity left, nothing. We are being trampled everywhere, trampled, trampled, trampled. I said, but don't despair. For a Muslim, there is no such thing as despairing of Allah Ta'ala's mercy, no matter how far we may have gone. But don't despair of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. I said, even if we have turned into fertilizer, I said, look at the milk of the mother. What is the milk of the mother? The milk of the mother is blood. But when the baby cries, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala converts that which is napak, najas and haram into milk which is pure, clean and delicious. That which was totally napak, which was najas, which was haram, which was filth. You can't drink blood. And if blood is on your clothes, you must wash. It was haram. It was total filth. But because of the crying of that baby, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala converted that blood into milk for that baby and made it pure and delicious for that baby and nourished that baby with it. So if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can do that, then if we have turned najas and napak and we have turned blood, then too don't despair of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. All we have to do is we have to cry over our sins. We have to shed a few tears of our sins. We have to make repentance, turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then if we have turned fertilizer, then say, oh Allah, although I have become fertilizer, which has got stench in it, but make me the fertilizer of the rose plant. Wow. Now go into the root of the rose plant. Wherever the roses are planted, go there and say, Ya Allah, make me the fertilizer of the rose plants. Now what will happen is that over a period of time, that rose plant is going to absorb that fertilizer. That stench, after a month or after a few days, if you have to go and smell there, there's no stench left there. All those who are doing gardening, they know that if you put fertilizer on the first day, it's such a stench that you can't even go anywhere nearby. But after a little while, when the rose plant has absorbed, and after a little while when the sun has shone, then a few days later, then there's absolutely no sign left of that fertilizer. In fact, now when the person will come close to that plant, he'll get the fragrant smell of flowers there. He'll get the fragrant smell of roses there. So if we have become fertilizers because of our sins and of our evil and of our haram indulgence all our life, then to don't despair of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy, but now go and join those who are flowers. Go to the root, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will make us also flowers. Why should we despair? So I said, all that is needed now is a little bit of tears of repentance. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that did these people of the town feel secure against our azab coming to them by day while they played about carefree, unconcerned that life is just a temporary thing. I'd say always that enjoy yourself. We don't say that you must stay sulky, gloomy, no laugh, no joke, nothing. You must just all the time read wazifa, all the time read Quran Sharif, all the time make zikr. Entertainment of the halal kind, give to your nafs. In these days, give halal entertainment and pleasure to your nafs. Eat good food, wear good clothes, travel in good car, stay in a good home, go to those places where there's some seclusion and privacy and have a picnic, nobody stops you. Give halal to the nafs so that it doesn't go towards haram, to protect it from haram. But when it comes to haram, then tighten the noose around the neck of the nafs and discipline it just for a few days, few months. Then inshallah, when we will enter into Jannat and we will see the didar of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, because that is the only thing many times I have mentioned, that what is it that makes the Ahlullah go on and on with their ibadat and zikr and tilawat and staying away from haram? Because they know that we are created by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the only place that we can see Him is in Jannat. So therefore they are desirous of going into Jannat so that they can see Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with their own naked eyes. Ha, what a sight that must be when Allah Ta'ala will reveal Himself. When that veil is going to be removed from the face of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Unke rukh se naqaba juthegi, aaj nazron ki miraj hogi, unke rukh se naqab aaj uthegi aaj nazron ki mehraj hogi ek muddat se aaj ahle gham ko muskurane ki mohlat milegi. Those who took the gham and the pain on their hearts of restraining themselves from haram, or those who went with the love and the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, now today when that veil is going to be removed, they are going to smile. And that's the time to really smile. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, did they feel protected against azab coming by day while they were playing? And finally Allah ta'ala says, afa aminu makra Allah. Did they feel secure against the planning of Allah ta'ala? فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And no one feels secure against the planning of Allah Ta'ala except those people who are doomed. That they can do a lot of planning. All their planning, if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants it to fail, then it will be doomed. Finish, it will fail. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's azab can come in different forms. And all Allah Ta'ala wants is that the believers must be true believers, and they project Islam and Iman, and then we invite people towards our deen by our akhlaq, by our speech and by our manners, then inshallah ta'ala our lives will become very pleasant. Then if he loses his life in jihad, then he's shaheed, and if he returns from there, then he's a ghazi. So whether he comes as a ghazi or he goes as a shaheed, both ways he is successful. So if they are threatening to bomb and destroy Afghanistan just because they say that Osama bin Laden, he is the one who is the chief suspect, without any proof. So where is the justice there? That they're looking for one person, so they're going to bombard the whole country. Where is their justice? What they're talking about, our civilization and our culture and our freedom. But alhamdulillah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given them the quwwat of iman, and they have said that whatever happens, we are not going to give in, and we will face the consequences. If some will lose their lives, they'll be shaheed, and those that will be saved will be ghazis. But what we must do is make a lot of dua that Allah ta'ala give hidayat to these Muslim governments. It is now becoming very, very frustrating, but then we have got nothing else but tafweez to make and place our trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But it hurts, it really hurts to see so many Muslim countries and they've got no voice at all. They've become puppets of the West. Their strings are being pulled by the Americans and by the British and the French. All their military might and power too, everything has been supplied to them by the same enemies of Islam so that they can tighten the noose whenever they want. So these are the signs now that Imam Mahdi's coming is very, very close. How close, we do not know. But when Muslims will be at their weakest, that is the time Imam Mahdi is going to make his appearance. And he will be recognized. And we can see that the Muslims, no matter how many countries they have, no matter how much of military they have, no matter what they have, our children can be dying, the mothers can be crying, and the homes can be bulldozed, but nobody can even say anything. Nothing. And in fact now, they are now siding against the enemies of Islam. Pakistan, to Allah Ta'ala, make it park. Otherwise, we can see that what is their condition. So let us make dua. What we have got with us is the bomb of dua. When we were near Pentagon, they said this is very powerful. 60,000 car park. And 50,000 people or 45,000 work in here. And all the virtues of the Pentagon they were talking of, Fazail. So I said, let's make dua ya, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shake up the military might of America. Amen. Of course, we didn't expect it's going to happen in this way. The same at the tower. That is why people wanted to, they asked me, Mullah, are you in any way involved with this? I said, yeah, I am involved with some dua bombs that we left behind there. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما اے اللہ ہم خطا کار ہے گنہگار ہے سیاہ کار ہے But oh my beloved Allah, we are turning towards you with repentance. We are extending our begging bowls before you. Oh Allah, we acknowledge every sin of ours. We are not happy with the sins that we have committed in our lives. We are not justifying our sins. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins. The sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. The sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh Allah, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mere Allah, puri ummat ki maghfirat farma de. Open the doors of maghfirat for them. Open the doors of your rahmat for them. Oh my beloved Allah, the enemies are all ganging together to destroy the Muslim ummah. Oh Allah, the sad part that even Muslims are joining the enemies of Islam. Mere pyare Khuda, tu musalmanon par raham farma. Ya Allah, mumalik islamiya ko tu hidayat naseeb farma. Ya Allah, give hidayat to the rulers of the Muslim world. Oh Allah, give them hidayat. Oh my beloved Allah, change the conditions in those countries. Give them the tawfiq to apply Islamic laws. Oh Allah, connect them firmly and strongly with you. Oh Allah, protect the Mujahideen of Islam. Oh Allah, protect Afghanistan, protect Pakistan, protect all the Muslim countries. Oh my beloved Allah, you are the best of all planners. No matter what planning the enemies of Islam may do, but oh Allah, you are the best of all planners. Oh my beloved Allah, change the condition. اے اللہ ان کی طاقت کو تو ختم کر دے. اے اللہ ان کے غرور کو تو ختم کر دے. اے اللہ, destroy the pride of this nation. Oh my beloved Allah, shake up their military might. Oh Allah, everything is in your control. اے اللہ, سب کچھ تیرے قبضے قدرت میں ہے. اے اللہ ان کے ناپاک عزم اور ارادوں کو تو ختم فرما. اے اللہ, عاد اور ثمود کی طریقے سے ان کو ہلاک فرما. اے اللہ, عاد اور ثمود کی طریقے سے ان کو ہلا دے. اے میرے پیارے خدا, تو قادر مطلق ہے. اے اللہ, سب کچھ تیرے قدرت میں ہے. میرے پیارے خدا, تو مسلمانوں پر رحم فرما. اے اللہ, ان کو نیک بنا دے, ان کو ایک بنا دے. او اللہ, make them pious and righteous. او اللہ, make all of us your servants. O make us your true servants, O my beloved Allah. We know that we have drifted very, very far. O Allah, we know that our homes have become filthy places. O Allah, we know that we have imported into our lives and into our homes all the filth that has been spewed out by these enemies of Islam. Mere pyare Khuda, that which they have been spewing out, we have been licking and sucking, oh my beloved Allah. Mere pyare Khuda, nowadays we even enjoy sins. Allah, hum musalman hai, lekin gunahon ke upar hume hansi aati hai. Allah, gunahon ke upar ab rona nahi aata. Allah, the sahaba-e-kiram, the tabi'in, the awliya-e-ummat, Ey Allah, they used to make ibadat and they used to cry. Oh Allah, we indulge in sins and we laugh. We indulge in sins and we brag about our sins. We advertise our sins. Oh my Allah, we advertise our sins in the newspapers of the country. Mere pyare Khuda, ab to raham farma. Oh Allah, because of our sins, the ummat is suffering everywhere in the world. Allah, puri ummat aaj hamare gunahon ki wajah se pareshan hai. Allah, hume bhi maaf kar de aur unko bhi maaf kar de. Allah, protect the haramain sharifain. Allah, protect the haramain sharifain. Ya Allah, protect masjid-e-aqsa. Allah, Palestine ke musalmanon ki hifazat farma. Ya Allah, zalim yahudi ke haath ko tu rok le. اے اللہ, ظالم یہودی کے ہاتھ کو تو روک دے. اے اللہ, مسلمانوں نصرت فرما. اے اللہ, with the ababil you save the Kaabatullah. Ya Allah, if you want to save, there is no difficulty for you. Oh my Allah, you sent your angels in the battle of Badr, where there were only 313 of them ill-equipped. But oh Allah, you sent your angels and you assisted them. Ey Allah, aaj bhi tu wahi khuda hai. Aaj bhi tu wahi khuda hai. Hum kamzor ho gaye, lekin tu to kamzor nahi hua. Oh Allah, we have become weak, but you haven't become weak. Ya Allah, you are strong and powerful and almighty as you were. Ey Allah, teri khudrat mein koi kabhi nahi aayi. Ey Allah, tu teri khudrat se, ey Allah, tu hamare liye faisla kar de. Ey Allah, musalmanon ki غلبہ عطا فرما. اے اللہ, ان کی نصرت فرما. اے اللہ, تیرے ملائکہ کے ذریعے سے ان کی مدد فرما. اے اللہ, ہم سب کو صحت دے. یا اللہ, bless us with long life, bless us with good health, bless us with ایمان, Ya Allah, protect our iman, protect our properties, protect our homes and the homes and properties of the Muslims throughout the world. Ya Allah, tu sab ki hifazat farma. Ya Allah, sab ko barkat ata farma. Musalmanon ki tijaraton mein barkat ata farma. Gharon mein barkat ata farma. Maal mein barkat ata farma. Aulad mein barkat ata farma. Ay Allah, tu hamari hifazat farma. Ya Allah, we are living in times of fitnas. We do not know what can happen the very next second. Ya Allah, throughout the world we are seeing disasters taking place. Within seconds, oh Allah, thousands of lives are gone. Within seconds, huge buildings are collapsing. Within seconds, oh Allah, the might of a proud nation has been destroyed. Ay mere pyare khuda, hame ibrat naseeb farma. Give us the tawfiq to take lessons from it. Ya Allah, give us a life of happiness. Give us a life of joy and satisfaction. Give us a life of peace and prosperity. Ya Allah, give us a life of happiness and contentment. Oh my beloved Allah, accept all the works of deen that are taking place. Tabligh o da'wat ki mehnat qabool farma. Unke gasht aur istemaat qabool farma. Ay Allah, khanqao ki mehnat qabool farma. Masajid madaris ki mehnat qabool farma. Ay Allah, jitne bhi deen ke kaam ho rahe sab ko qubool farma. Ikhlas ki taufeeq se mala maal farma. Ay Allah, agar tu hamara nahi to kuch bhi hamara nahi. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera zami meri. Koi mujhse poochhe main kya maangta hu, main apne khuda se khuda maangta hu. Koi mujhse poochhe main kya maangta hu, main apne khuda se khuda maangta hu. Wo ho jaye mera, main ho jaun uska, yahi raat din mein dua maangta hu. Mere Allah, tu hamara ban ja aur hame apna bana le. Allah, hum bahut kamzor hai, hum napak hai, hum gande hai, hum napak hai, hum gande hai, najas hai mere pyare khuda. Ae mere Allah, hum kuch bhi hai lekin tere bande hai. Hamare hal par raham farma. Oh Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a cinema, in a theater, in a disco, watching some haram on television. Don't let the angel of death find us in some prostitute quarters. Don't let the angel of death find us in adultery or fornication. Oh my beloved Allah, when the time of our death comes, then let it be in Madina Tayyibah. At the rosa of my beloved Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, standing and reciting as salatu was salamu alayka ya Rasulallah at his beloved rosa. Oh Allah, at that time cause our ruh to depart from our bodies. Let our burial be in Jannatul Baqi. But oh my Allah, if our death is not muqaddar in Madina Sharif, then wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Ay Allah, us waqt koi aisi tajalli teri dikhla de ki hamari ruh joomti hui tere paas aa jaye. Our soul must come dancing towards you. It must not be stuck in all the material things of this world. Ay Allah, hame sukoon wali zindagi de. Give us the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. All the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us, bless us with that goodness. Bless our parents with that goodness, our wives and children with that goodness, and the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitna that he asked for protection, oh Allah, protect us, our parents, wives and children, and the entire ummah of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam ke sadqe mein hamari duaon ko qubool farma. Ay Allah, tere fazl o karam se qubool farma. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.